The New Testament reading is from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, beginning from verse 1 to 15. I hope you will put up with me in a little foolishness. Yes, please put up with me. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. I do not think I am in the least inferior to those super apostles. I may indeed be untrained as a speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. Was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches by receiving support from them so as to serve you. And when I was with you and needed something, I was not a burden to anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied what I needed. I have kept myself from being a burden to you in any way and will continue to do so. As surely as the truth of Christ is in me, nobody in the regions of Achaia will stop this boasting of mine. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do. And I will keep on doing what I am doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Are you doing it? Are you Jane today?
Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you, Anne, for being Jane.
Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 7, beginning from verse 15 to 23.
Praise and glory to God.
Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ.
Do take a seat, everyone. Lovely to see you all. Father, we pray today, Lord, that you would be with us, you would encourage us by spirit and by word, by sacrament and by song, Lord, that we may know you as our one true Lord and Saviour. Amen. Well, in case you're new here and you have no idea what's going on, this is how we do church. And my name is Fraser McDermott. I'm the pastor here, the vicar. We're an Anglican church and we love Jesus. It's a great thing. If you can go away with just one thing today, I want you to know this, that God loves you. He loves you with a love that is so passionate. He loves you. And his desire for you and for me is to be connected to God. You know, sometimes we go, oh, I just can't connect. I just can't feel where God is. Let me tell you that Jesus is in the business of connecting us. He is more reliable than 4G. He's faster than 5G. He is connected in order that you and I may be connected to the loving Father. Jesus died that you could be connected to God. Jesus lived that you could see how it is possible to live this life connected to God. Now, our natural instinct as human beings is to protect those things that we love. I remember having our children about the same age as Boaz, and some of you have got grandchildren that age, and some of you, God bless you, are yet to have them. And some of you have them right now in spadefuls. But the summer time is so much fun. Because you get to play with your kids. You go out to Piha or where Murawai or wherever. And you race over the hot sand because it's just too hot. But whatever, you get there. You get your child down. You play in the water. And I did this a number of occasions with our children. And you will notice parents never leaving their children alone in the water. Is that irresponsible? Not at all. And so you hold the hand of the child and the waves come. It's absolutely fantastic. But as a father, I knew to look out what was ahead. I looked out for the waves that were coming, not the waves that were here. And every now and then, you just have to do the scoop and swoop, don't you? You just sort of, you pick up your child and you are overwhelmed by this massive wave, but your little one is protected. Jesus' love for you is a protective and passionate love. He has scooped you up in his arms and he is looking out for the waves that will come against us. We're in a sermon series at the moment called Living Life Well. We're taking a slow walk through the Sermon on the Mount. And as it were, if there's an ascent and a descent to the Sermon on the Mount, we're on the final descent coming down from the heights of the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount. But really what Jesus is trying to do, this is a manifesto for life. That if we could live the stuff that's in the Sermon on the Mount, I believe Jesus is saying that this would mean that we have lived a life well. All of Jesus' teaching, if we can take it in on the Sermon on the Mount, if we could just remember one thing as we take each section, have taken each section, was this, that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. That's why Jesus gives the teaching, because he says, I want you to guarantee an entrance into the kingdom of heaven. So do the stuff. And we'll learn that a bit later, because Jesus uses an analogy of rock and sand, doesn't he? But he says, do it. Do the stuff and life will go well. And as Philip pointed out last week, you know, this teaching is a path. And it's a narrow path. It's interesting, isn't it? The longer you get to walk with the Lord, you realize how wide a path he had initially allowed you to walk when you were with the Lord in your early days. But the closer we get to godliness and righteousness, the more we become aware of what unrighteousness looks like. And that gate is narrow, and that path is narrow too. But the encouragement is that we have one who has walked that path ahead of us, and one who walks that path alongside of us. It has room for two on the path. You and Jesus. So do not be concerned. But the teaching is, this is how we live a righteous life. At the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, interestingly, Jesus talks and warns us about attacks that come from outside the church. You will be persecuted because of my name. Blessed are you, and you will rejoice. Learn to rejoice in the middle of persecution. Well, that's going to be a lesson, isn't it? But interestingly, at the beginning, he says, watch out for what happens from outside the church. At the end of the sermon, after he's given all these teachings, he says, now watch out for attacks that come from within the church. Oh, you mean I'm not completely safe? Friends, you are, if you stay close to Jesus in the waves. Jesus calls us to be watchful in this part of the Sermon on the Mount for what he calls false prophets. Those are the kind of people and belief systems that are clearly outside of the Christian community of Orthodox belief, maybe denying the one true church, or they are particularly the only real people of God. But also Jesus talks about false teachers, people who appear to be saying godly things, but in reality, instead of leading people towards God, they lead people away from God. Now, some may say, well, I mean, if they're ordained or if they're leading a group of people, surely they're spiritual people and they must be good. Or maybe even, well, they preach the name of Jesus and there's miracles happening and people are healing. But Jesus himself says that's not the test of entrance to the kingdom. It's whether or not we had relationship with him. Did you notice he said, go away, I never knew you? In other words, these miracles are not done out of relationship with Jesus. And that's primarily what Jesus is looking for, is relationship with him. Therefore, we need to be discerning. In spite of sort of the cultural norm that we live an attitude of love, and that means accepting everything, even incompatible beliefs, Jesus himself is saying that there is a difference between truth and untruth. There's no such thing as an alternative truth. Jesus is Lord. So when Jesus is using the word false prophet here, particularly in this part of the gospel, he's using the term to describe someone in the fellowship who is teaching discipleship in the words of God. In much in the same way that the prophets in the Old Testament and some in the New Testament that we saw, those prophets spent time listening to God, reading the Torah, discerning the voice of God, and speaking and interpreting it to the people of the time. In the same way that we have it here, Jesus is talking, there are people who do this in a false way. Now, this makes it difficult, doesn't it? Because Jesus said that there will be ferocious wolves among our midst. Are we to be frightened? No. Who is Lord? Sorry, that wasn't a rhetorical question. I just need to know that you know. Who is Lord?
Jesus.
Jesus. And he is the great shepherd of the sheep. In other words, he knows how to deal with wolves. He is the gate. He is the one who is the great protector of the people. And a wolf is the natural predator of a sheep. It likes lamb, don't we all? But it's a very serious matter to harm God's people. And Jesus says in this gospel reading, they'll be cut down and thrown into the fire because of the damage that they've done to the body of Christ. Paul writes, therefore, that we need to be careful about who we allow to preach in church and teach. There are tests to give. It's not only for the sake of that person, but also the sake of those that listen. He says that those people will be judged at a higher and different level. And that's also why Paul says, pray for me. Pray for me that I may fearlessly declare the gospel, but also pray for me that I may not shy away from what is the truth and declare it as it is. And that's why also Paul declares to the people, the churches, the scattered churches around Asia Minor, he says to them, pray for those who are in authority over you. Because they've got a tough job. 1 Thessalonians 5 talks about that as well. So how do we distinguish between a cult and a church? Because believe it or not, you don't know you're being deceived when you're being deceived. That's the whole thing of deception. It's deceptive. But it's shameful, isn't it, at some point, to know you've been deceived? Our pride is hurt. We seem to be feeling that we're gullible. But friends, the wolf is around. Hopefully not in this church. But the wolves are around, and we need to be aware of them. Remember that Jesus himself was considered to be a wolf, a false prophet by the Jewish people. That's why they crucified him. That's why we need discernment from the Spirit to discern who is of the Lord. Jesus says that there is only one true test, one test for us to discern what it is. And he says it twice in this passage. He says this, by their fruit you will recognize them. And then he goes on to talk about good trees bearing good fruit and bad trees bearing bad fruit and fruit being fruit. Some people love fruit, some people hate fruit, but I love fruit. We've got a mandarin tree out the back. When we first arrived, no one had really cared for the mandarin tree. It had the most stupendous looking fruit. But then we opened it up, it was full of pith and no flavor. We need to be discerning. It's by the fruit you will recognize them. And it's not about the roots, because the fruit will testify to what the roots are in. That's why Scripture so easily says, again and again, taste and see that the Lord is good. In other words, you don't do it from a distance. Your relationship with God is up close and personal, close enough to taste the goodness of God. Now, we need to be a discerning people. And although we are called to be wise, friends, we're not called to be suspicious. And when there's a suspicious spirit in a church, we need to be careful. We need to be wise and discerning. We are not called to be heresy hunters. Heresies will pop out pretty quickly when you hear them. There's nothing more exhausting in a church than having a bunch of Ghostbusters, heresy hunters. It's pretty hard work. And actually what it does do, and I've experienced this and seen this, actually, what it does do is all it does is bring division. And I don't think that that's the fruit of the Spirit of God. So let's be wise, not suspicious. So firstly, how do we spot a false prophet in our midst or around or on television or wherever it is? Well, first of all, we need to be aware of who we are. I'm a sheep. Can you say that? I'm a sheep. Sheep are stupid. And they will almost follow anyone or anything. But interestingly, I went to Greg Taylor's farm, and he says, I speak to my sheep, and my sheep know my voice. I went, I've heard that before. But actually, it's true. But actually, we want people to lead us. We want to be led. And we need to be careful and discerning of those whom we allow to lead us as sheep. So what kind of fruit are we to expect for in a healthy shepherd that will help us realize that they are not a wolf? These aren't the fruit of the Spirit. These are just general fruit. Well, I will talk about Galatians 5, but my points are not from Galatians 5. These are different fruits. Someone was very concerned that the fruit of character is not in Galatians chapter 5, but I think you'll agree with me that it sort of is anyway. We look at the fruit of the character of our leader, of those who are in leadership over us. The wrong test is a test of superficiality, how they look. You know, the outward clothing. Because apparently wolves appear normal. Have a close look. Somewhere around the middle of that picture. Just in case you're wondering, that's not a sheep's face. But it looks like a sheep. Sheep's clothing could be an outward profession of faith or the performance of miracles. But Jesus says that isn't the test, as I've already said. Now, whilst these things in themselves are good, they're not to be pursued as an end to themselves to actually lift our own fame. And often we find that actually one of the biggest difficulties for leaders is our sense of self-worth and our character. If it is based on my performance here and not the performance that's in here, we're in trouble. It's the fruit of character. And character comes out and is seen so often when someone is placed under pressure. Have you ever had that sort of wonderful boss who all of a sudden when the deadline comes or the cash flow is too tight or there's some major sort of issues that are going on, their character flips? I'm sure that you've never seen that. But actually, under pressure will determine the true character of your person. And actually, as in Galatians 5, the true character of a disciple of Christ, interestingly, someone told me that the Greek for the fruit of the Spirit, the Greek word for fruit there, is singular, not plural. So it's not the fruits of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit. So in other words, all of this grows at the same time within our lives. Love, joy, peace, how are you doing? Patience. You want me to hurry up? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And so are the people that are in leadership over you, are they displaying these things? Or are the things that you're seeing on television displaying these fruit, the singular fruit of the Spirit? But Jesus himself... Paul wrote that, by the way, not Jesus, but even though God was the author, Paul wrote it. But I think he took some of that from the understanding on the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. What are you like? Are you meek? Are you peaceable and peacemaking? Do you have a thirst for righteousness and purity? Are our leaders and teachers really, are our teachers merciful or judgmental? Because a sheep and a wolf may look the same, but a sheep bleats and a wolf howls. The fruit of character. Secondly, the fruit of conduct. What we believe will determine how we behave. The choices that we make will inform that. Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount sets out that we should live our lives in terms of selflessness, of forgiveness, of faithfulness and integrity, of loving our enemies, even if they are our employer. You love them, even if you think that they're an idiot. Because more, actually the interesting thing is when we declare that someone's an idiot, it shows you how much of an idiot we are. Because we really don't know what's going on in life, do we? The fruit of conduct. We all make mistakes from time to time. And we live with a past that has maybe shadowed us, but friends, we've been forgiven. So we live in the light of our redemption and our future, that we have all things in Christ Jesus and we are a new creation. But no one is perfect. And friends, can I just say, if you start putting leaders on a pedestal that they are holier than everybody else, beware, because I know they're not. As some of you are already nodding quite effusively. We need to make sure that our faith is not tied up in their success. The important thing in this context is that wolves set out to twist and deceive the word of God and the people of God for their own edification and their own ends and gain. A wolf's aim is to eat a sheep. Just remember that. Paul talks about preaching for selfish gain. And he'd spoken 2 Corinthians 11 about the super apostles who actually taught the people it was normal to charge for preaching, and then they told Paul off for not charging for preaching. They had twisted the revelation of God. And many bad things have been done throughout the centuries in the name of the Lord, including right now, not right here, but right now in the world. There's the Lord's Resistance Army in Uganda. Raping and pillaging and burning, indiscriminately killing, bringing children into armies and fighting on their behalf. All because they say we want to restore the teaching of the Ten Commandments and the righteousness of God. Well, it's by their conduct you will determine whether or not they are of the Lord. And I don't think the Lord's Resistance Army is the Lord's Resistance Army. As sheep, we all make mistakes and stray from a right path. But when this happens, we need to repent, be forgiven, and aim to live a godly, consistent life. All leaders are human, have temptations and weaknesses, including me. But cult leaders are often uncorrectable and arrogant, while also having other quite attractive qualities. That's why people follow them. It's very difficult to discern, but it's very different, the quality of the conduct. Third fruit, the fruit of their teaching. We're called to get our teaching from the Bible as the one primary source. Jeremiah says, search for the ancient paths. This stuff, fortunately, doesn't change. God has, in his wisdom, revealed his heart to us in the scriptures. We are foolish if we depart from them, no matter how uncomfortable they are. Now, all of us at times will fall winds to different fashions of teaching. I've done it myself. But we need to make sure that, as Paul says to Timothy, watch your doctrine closely. Know for yourselves what there is to know. Don't just expect someone to spoon feed. Dig into the scriptures and the doctrines of the teaching of the church. Then you will be able to discern right from wrong. When we compare the teaching of someone, we compare it to the entire counsel of Scripture. Friends, beware of a Jesus and message. The super apostles were preaching a Jesus and message. Cults and sects often claim that the authority of the Bible is good, but it's not quite good enough. We need a little bit more to help us. So the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints says that their sources of authority are the Bible and the Book of Mormon. Apparently, a special pair of glasses were needed. Christian scientists look to the Bible as their authority and the teaching of Mary Baker Ellis. Mary Baker Eddy. Jehovah's Witnesses have their own version of the Bible that fundamentally changes some of the words and the meanings of the Bible. In the beginning, there was a word, and the word was with God. It's not a word. He was the word. And also, the Jehovah's Witnesses believe the second coming has already been. Well, friends, I'm not sure that what we're living in is the second coming. We're called to discern this. In most cases, a cult will depart significantly from the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith. For instance, the Trinity. A lot of people find difficulty in the Trinity. The divinity of Christ is another key one as well. Let's not argue over a baptism, for goodness sake. Let's argue over the divinity of Christ. Jesus is Lord. You know, I worked as a bank teller down in for the BNZ, in the Tiaro branch, I think it was called, down in Wellington, near Kirkcaldy's. And I was a good bank teller. I went from personal banking to business banking, corporate banking, but just on the till. I mean, they put me anywhere else, I was a complete failure. But I loved counting money, and it was great. And then I started working for churches, and guess what I started to do? I started to count money again. But the interesting thing is, the minute you hold a fake coin in your hand or drop it on the table, you drop a whole pile of, for me, just be patient with me, of pound coins. If you drop a bag of 20 pound coins all on the table at the same time, I will tell you instantly if there is a fake coin in there, because there's a different tone as it hits the table. And why is that? Was I sent by the BNZ off into a room full of fake coins and fake notes? No. I just spent a lot of time with the real stuff. And friends, you and I will easily be able to discern what is rubbish or what is counterfeit from being with the truth. And so know the teaching of Scripture. We know the false things by knowing the real things. Fourth fruit, the fruit of love, very, very quickly. The first manifestation of the Spirit in our lives, the first outward manifestation of that is love. I can believe it when I gave my life to Jesus. I started to love people. Oh, it's very uncomfortable, but actually I liked it. I love people. I love the church. I hated the church before. Now I love it. They even pay me. I love it. Pay me a bit more, but I love them. Jesus says, remain in my love. To be grafted into the vine is to be grafted into the very lifeblood of the kingdom, which the first fruit is love. Harsh judgmentalism combined with an exclusive look on our church is the warning signs of a cult or of a wolf leading us. I won't joke about that. So we need to be careful to bless and love the entire body of Christ. We love the Catholic Church. Do you know they've been around a little bit longer than you and I? We love the Orthodox Church. We love Methodists. Do you know we do? I know Baptists, and they're actually quite nice people. And I can tell you this for sure, that the Anglican Church is not the hope of the world, but it is part of the hope of the world, because Jesus is the hope of the world. And he's not given up, even on the Anglicans. Thank the Lord. So we must embrace and love. And cults often take people away from families, away from friendships, away from relationships, because they are being sullied by the world and they need to be indoctrinated. Friends, be careful. If you've got a friend who's being dragged away, drag them back. Ephesians talks about the necessity for mutual submission. The hallmark of a cult is never that. It's complete submission, but not mutual submission. Freedom, where the Spirit of the Lord is freedom. Fifthly, very quickly, the fruit of alliance on Jesus. Is your leader, is your teacher someone who is manifestly reliant upon Jesus? Or are they relying upon their own skills, their good looks, and their humility? We need to be reliant upon Jesus. You know, we do this, we pray before each service. If you want to come, please do come. Because we think nothing can be done without prayer, because it's all about Him. So often we find ourselves saying, Lord, we can't do this without You. And if we go to ourselves one day, hey, let's not bother praying. We can knock this one off. Let's just get on with it. Yeah, it's easy. Beware. Because we need to be reliant on Jesus. And finally, the fruit of influence. The apple does not fall far from the tree. Look at the saplings that fall under the teaching of that person that you're looking at. Is that person displaying the fruit of the Spirit? Are they healthy, gracious, forgiving, passionate worshippers of Jesus? Are they more concerned about Jesus than their leader? Yeah. Are we pointing one another to Christ? Is the influence of the community of faith which you're looking at, is it a force for good in community? Is it blessing? Is it giving away more than it's receiving? Is it aiming to increase the body of Christ elsewhere rather than gather to itself? How influential is the church? And it's not just influential, but are they determined to be influencers for the good of the kingdom? Friends, many fruit that are for us to help us discern by the Spirit what a wolf looks like. Because initially, they look quite nice. But remember this, Jesus is standing in the waves. He stands next to us, and He is looking out. That's why we look at Him. Put our arms up. Lord, help. He sweeps us up into His arms and He says, I'll protect you. If we go, no, I'll protect myself, thank you, we need to be careful. Friends, spotting a false prophet only comes from understanding that actually the Spirit Himself is the one who discerns in our hearts. May God richly bless you. Shall we stand? Can we invite the children to come back and our youth, what's left of them? A lot of them are on a retreat at the moment. But let's just open ourselves up to the Spirit of God and ask Him to give us a spirit of discernment, of wisdom, rather than suspicion. Father, we love You. We're here because of what You have done for us. And Lord, would You turn our hearts toward Your church, which is Your body displaying Your beauty in the world. Please, Lord, come, we pray, and increase our passion for orthodoxy, for love, and for You. Just as we're praying, I'm reminded of Just a couple of things. One, I just wonder if there's one or two of us here who've been really hurt by church pastors, either in the past or in the present. And our job is to forgive. Maybe they've let you down. Friends, just a piece of advice. If your faith is solely based on the integrity of your leader, there's trouble. Many people have fallen away from the church because of a leader. That means that they're not truly being grafted into the vine of Jesus. But if you've been hurt by a pastor or a home group leader or just another Christian who has abused you, either emotionally or financially or in any other way, we just want to bring the opportunity to release them to God's mercy and for His Spirit to come and to heal you. Father, we recognize, Lord, we are in a broken world, but You are the one who heals it. And Father, for the times, Lord, we have been hurt by those who are in leadership over us, Lord, we say, Lord, would You heal us as we forgive them? And wherever that leader is and whatever they're doing, Lord, would You bless them? Let them know Your love and Your forgiveness. And let the fruit of the Spirit grow within them. And Father, if they are a wolf, Lord, wherever they are, Lord, would You expose them for who they are and bring them the gift of repentance? So, Lord, heal our hearts now, Lord, we pray. Heal us up, Lord. Send us out. Heal us up. Send us out. That we may walk with You the path that You have set out for us. In Jesus' name.